I want to speak to Senior Fire Officer, the Area Commander with the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service, Aidan Jennings, who's been a busy man over the last few days. Aidan, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Aidan, the cordon, not as wide as it had been around bank buildings. What's happening today?
Our operations were scaled back last night around 8 p.m. So we've come back down from the height of the operations on the first day through five pumps and command support units and aerial ladder platforms, down last night to three pumps. And I'm optimistic that this morning and through into the early part of the afternoon we'll scale back further. We still have small pockets of fire burning within the building, stubborn areas to reach under fallen debris and fallen floors. And your normal fire scenario, we would likely be able to enter, turn those over and extinguish those and move out in a quicker manner. However, because of the danger of collapse and debris continuing to fall within the building, we're unable to commit firefighters to carry out those tasks because of the risk to themselves in entering that part of the building. So we still have areas of fire burning. So I'm optimistic that we'll continue to work at that and hopefully extinguish those through the day and scale back further at that stage.
Go ahead, Aidan.
Okay, so in relation to the cordons have been moved back in last night. So a number of other shops are now accessible for the key holders and will be opening up during the day. I'm just waiting to go into a meeting now with multi-agency partners, and that'll be communicated to all of those shop owners and key holders in that sense where it can be opened. There still remain some premises within the cordon, and we're working internally within that cordon, and as quickly as those can be opened up again, Belfast Council through Commerce and that will inform key holders and keep them up to date with that.
But you would expect the busy shopping weekend, a lot of those shops will still be affected.
I do, and what I would say is that those cordons are in place for public safety. We've had some further internal collapses within the building last night, so floors and steelwork and debris coming down, and there's a risk there that stuff can fall, come out the front of the building. Harsh fence has been erected through the night around the scene to ensure that cordon is a safe place that the public can't enter, and it's very much for me about public safety and the safety of our firefighters operating within that at this stage.
What are the structural experts telling you about the facade of the building? Is it at risk of falling, or might it need to be demolished?
There's been a risk from the outset of the fire of that nature and intensity. The building was certainly under scrutiny in relation to the structure, particularly that front facade, which is so iconic and the heritage importance of that to Belfast. I'm pleased that it still stands and has taken the heat of the fire and the work which we've been doing in the last few days, and I'm optimistic that can be saved, but at this stage that's very much a call for the structural engineers, and hopefully there'll be something more on that today, maybe after the meeting or later on in today in relation to that.
And do we still run the risk that could come down in the blink of an eye?
I don't think so. I don't think it's down in the blink of an eye. Our crews have been there and working, and it is a significant structure and has stood many years. So I'm optimistic that will stand, but that's my opinion. It's very much for the structural engineers to make those calls.
Are you getting a sense of frustration from the neighbours of the fire, or is everyone being as patient as you would need them to be?
I would have to say and praise key holders, shop owners, the general public. Everyone's been absolutely fantastic with the fire crews. We've worked very, very hard over the last few days to save as much of the building as possible. We were able to put fire stops in the concrete stairs on each of the five floors on both sides of the building to protect the rear extension and the piece which had been built between the existing bank buildings and the new part to the rear. So around half of the building has been saved and hasn't been affected by the fire beyond some smoke travel and water damage. But residents, nearby shops, people who come out and support of us, there have been people at the cordon, well-wishers, providing food, and that has really helped our resilience in terms of dealing with this incident. The multi-agency approach to this, whilst the fire service are front and foremost in this as a fire, and that's appropriate, the work of the police, the ambulance service, and supporting emergency teams for our crews in case of injury, the work of Red Cross and Rapid Relief, and all those other agencies you work with across the city, and across Northern Ireland, in fact, helping instrumentalists. This is very much a team effort, and I can see all of the partner agencies pulling together and the public of Belfast. It just shows how resilient Belfast is, and in fact Northern Ireland is, when we face something like this.
And when you say you put in a fire stop and save the new end at the back of the building, what technically is a fire stop?
Okay, so the front of the building, which is predominantly seen in the media because of that iconic facade, the fire hasn't burnt right through the building. So the old part of the bank buildings, a very old building, a couple hundred years old, timber floors, etc., there's been an extension to the rear of that, which was nearing completion. So there used to be an alleyway to the rear of bank buildings. That's been extended into a new premise. Primark were about to open up that new premise. So our crews were able to get in to a point of relative safety on both sides into newly constructed concrete staircases, which were not yet finished. So there are no doors or that on them. There are open gaps into the store to the rear. And we were able to establish in each of those five floors fire breaks with firefighters wearing breathing apparatus and hose reels up into that. So water jets and monitors to hold the fire back and stop it coming right through the entire building. So whilst from the front of the building it looks like damage is significant, and it absolutely is to that front part of the building, we have stopped that fire from running right through the building. On a number of occasions at the height of the fire, we had to withdraw our crews because of the difficult and punished conditions, temperatures and falling debris and stuff coming down and entering those staircases and pushing our crews back out and down. So the safety of our crews as well as the public was paramount in my thoughts in relation to the operational command of the incident. However, we've got in and we've stopped the fire spreading to the rear part of the building, so it remains intact both structurally. And there's nothing going on. It's smoke damage and some water damage at the lower levels on that part of the building.
Yeah, we tend to recognise the guy on the crane doing the great work, but those chaps who are in where you don't see them, I don't want to say that's real firefighting, because the guy on the crane's real firefighting, a real firefighter as well. But that must be quite a challenge. That's what you're trained for.
Yes, the firefighters on the aerial ladder platforms, there were three of those at work very quickly. So two of them are located in Belfast, and the third was brought in from outside in Portadown. So huge praise to those crews for their actions protecting that. But you saw the intensity of the fire at the front. It simply wouldn't have been possible to commit firefighters there. However, in those concrete staircases to the rear, we had a place of relative safety. And whilst we had to come in and out as conditions deteriorated and we improved them, we were able to get in there, put firefighters in on jets with breathing apparatus on the five floors and ensure they had a safe escape route, which we protected with further hose reel jets to allow us to stop that fire going further back in the building.
And who makes the call to take the firefighters back out? Is that someone from outside or is that someone who's in with them?
So our incident commander would establish sector commanders around the scene. So the front of the building looked at was our operational sector one, and then with sectors two and four and both those sides of the concrete staircase. So there's a sector commander there. We're watching conditions change. We're communicating from the front to the back of those sectors, and as conditions deteriorate, our firefighters will come back down out in that sector commander, withdraw them and let me know at the front that we've withdrawn crews there.
So serious, serious responsibility when you hear it described like that. Aidan, thanks for your time this morning, and well done to the fire service for protecting all the other buildings and indeed half of that building as well. Thanks for your time this morning, Aidan.
Thank you, Frank.
That's the area commander, Aidan Jennings, who's had a busy number of days. But when you have a conversation like that, you're just reminded, aren't you, about the excellent work done by the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service and by fire services the length and breadth of the world, really. Just great work done that they're rarely praised for. Now, people are hoping to get back into their shops. They're hoping to get back to normal in the city centre. And of course, the good news is that the Primark staff are going to be paid this week. And that is a plus in itself. But they're out of work at the moment. I want to speak to Paddy Lillis, who is indeed with the USDAW union representing the shop workers. Paddy, good morning.
Good morning.
Paddy, people very concerned. If you've been working in Primark, you're worried and concerned about your future. If you're working in shops around bank buildings, a lot of money is being missed out on during the course of this week and into the weekend. Are steps being taken to cushion these blows?
Well, but before I answer that, can I say a massive respect to the emergency service and the fire brigade in particular for the work they carried out, putting themselves in danger and ensuring that the public was safe. Absolute respect to them for that. But in relation to the workers, look, it's a really worrying time for them. The concern is they're going to have a job going forward in the future. Are they going to rebuild the store? Are they going to move premises? These are all ongoing discussions we are having at the moment with Primark and with the local authorities, the town council and other retailers. We want to see Primark get started up as quickly as possible to secure the employment of, which is long-serving staff. So you know, that's our main priority, is to get them back into work, but also to secure their pay in the short term so they're not having a detrimental effect on their incomes, where they're still having to pay their bills, their rents, their mortgages, and everything else that goes with it. So we're trying to speak to the company to ensure that they extend the pay beyond this week.
Do you need goodwill from the company? They're not under any legal responsibility to pay wages when work's not being done, am I right?
That's correct. But Primark has been a long sort of standing employer. We have a great relationship with them. We would hope that they would understand this incident is no fault of theirs. And, you know, there's an obligation, a moral obligation as well, to ensure that these workers are able to provide for their families and continue in that sort of security. Now, you know, it is difficult in retail in general across the UK. We've seen over 50,000 jobs lost just this year alone in sort of the difficulty between bricks and mortar retailers versus online. So there's all sorts of challenges out there, and this is one that wasn't foreseen. A company that was doing really well, a massive extension and refurbishment of £30 million. We are where we are, so it's about, from our point of view, prioritising our members, the employees, and ensuring that they don't suffer any more than they have to.
Now, the countdown is almost on to Christmas, certainly halfway through September. People will be thinking about Christmas shopping. Is there any suggestion of, for want of a better term, some form of pop-up Primark in a city centre location that is vacant at the moment? Are steps being taken towards that?
I would say all options will be on the table at this moment in time. You know, we have a number of massive vacant stores in Belfast. We've just seen British Home Stores is empty. I think there's one in Castle Court's empty. So there's a number of options there, which Belfast City Council are more than happy to try to support and facilitate. The other thing is, given the run-up to Christmas starts now with most retailers, so most retailers will also be looking to take on thousands of additional staff. So there's an option there as a fail-safe that the retailers we deal with will look to hopefully employ individuals if that becomes necessary.
Yeah, because they're very experienced and respected staff who are waiting to go back into employment.
Absolutely. Most of these staff has got 25, 30, 35 years service, really experienced, and that's hard to get sometimes, especially in the run-up to busy seasons like Christmas.
You mentioned the council. Is anything being done to assist the people who are losing day after day, who weren't part of Primark, but who are affected by the cordon and by the smoke damage and just the general atmosphere of people not really wanting to shop so close to that building?
Well, I mean, again, when you have an incident like this here, the safety of the public becomes paramount and for staff and surrounding retail businesses. I would imagine that the business and the community, will be seeking relief on business rates, etc., to limit the damage to their business. So I would imagine that's ongoing now with the Chamber of Commerce and the different employer federations around the Belfast area. But again, I think everybody's rallied round, businesses rallied round, the community, the local authorities, the trade unions, and in particular that the people of Belfast once again have shown their resilience in trying to make sure that they deal with this as quickly and effectively as possible.
Yeah, there's a proactive attitude at the moment, which I think is to be applauded. Paddy, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Paddy Lillis from USDA, the Shop Workers Union. 90-333-105, 077-66-105-105. Actually, the number of people praising the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service over the last couple of days, it can't be understated. It is indeed, it can't be understated, it can't be overstated. Certainly the praise can't be overstated, because it is without doubt coming through to us here. And when you see that iconic building and the charred remains of it, and you look all around at the other buildings, you just get an absolute sense of how professional the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service group actually is. When they're called on in the middle of the day to assist, they are there in style, and I think they deserve applause and recognition indeed from the citizens of the area. Donal Lyons is the chair of the Growth and Regeneration Committee at Belfast City Council. Donal, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
What's being done at present, Donal? Is everyone being proactive to sort out this city centre problem?
I think there's a number of things happening at the moment, Frank. So yesterday, Belfast City Hall hosted a meeting with the retailers from the area. There's around 45 to 50 of them present. And that also brought together that sort of statutory family. So the fire service, the PSNI, a number of other different groups. So this morning, I think, there's a couple issues facing us. One of which at the moment is the cordon. Of course, we're trying to get the street reopened and people moving back as quickly as possible, as long as it's safe. So the cordon was diminished or shrunk this morning, basically. It was moved in a little bit more to allow further shops open. But fundamentally, I was down there this morning, the building is still smouldering, the water is still being poured on it, it's still technically on fire. So it's still very early, early days.
It's difficult for the people who are the immediate neighbours who may not have been affected by the fire, but they're going to be facing considerable challenge. Is there assistance there for those neighbours?
And that's some of the things we're looking at the moment now. There's a variety of different things we're hoping to be able to do. And then going to sort of street animation and various schemes to drive footfall in the area, looking at how the council can kind of, increase business in the city centre around those things. And then working as well with the departments and various others to see what flexibilities there may be there as well. But they're absolutely right. I mean, there is, the fire service are doing a very good job. They're still rightly warning people about the building itself, and so they need to keep their cordon up. So it is those couple of shops who are in the immediate vicinity of it. We have, with the traders yesterday, there was a degree of understanding that this is obviously a very dramatic thing, it's a very traumatic thing, and then they understood that there were safety issues that had to be paramount, so to get the junction open and the road open, but we are trying to kind of get that balance right, ensuring the safety, but also getting the cordon tightened a little bit.
The most important thing, as you mentioned, is safety, but shopping should always be a pleasure, and if people aren't getting any pleasure from it, they're going to choose to go somewhere else. One of the mammoth disadvantages in Belfast City Centre in that area as we go along Royal Avenue is the smell. There is a very heavy smell of smoke and charred remains of the building. As a result of that, as you go past, you quicken your step, you don't really want to be lingering. Therefore, a considerable number of shops are going to be affected.
Well, I mean, we did just see one of the major buildings in our city centre on our high street, on our main street, burn down, Frank, that this is a day or two after the event itself. I think in terms of keeping it a pleasurable experience to be in our city centre, there's a couple of things to do. For me, to be honest with you, the big question that remains outstanding is our ability to save what's left of the facade of the building, the front of the building. It is, as I said, the rubble is still smouldering. There is still an active fire operation there. But we do need to get engineers in there to see how secure the building is itself, because it was iconic in the city. It's been there for over 100 years. It's been a meeting point. Ever since the fire started, we've been hearing in programs like yourselves and on social media, people's stories about meeting their partner there or the role that it played in their lives over the years. So I think we do need to that sort of junction of Royal Avenue and High Street is very much the crossroads at the centre of our city. So we need to get that back with a restored building and get that open as soon as possible.
Of course, but that is going to take time. And the reason that I was saying about the lack of pleasure shopping in Belfast City Centre, it leads me to how much footfall will drop off. And as a result of that, those people who are trying to make a success of other businesses are going to realise that there's less money in the till, but they're still paying the rates. So is there quite a good chance that the rates will be cut for people in the streets around this devastated building, or is that not something that the council would really be able to do?
Well, that's one of the things we're looking at, Frank. And to be honest, personally speaking, when you look at rates relief, previous rates relief initiatives have been the Department of Finance, and it's an assembly basis. We have, you know, when the council comes to collect rates, it's that out-person legislation, how we do it, what we do it. And then, of course, there's the difference between a district rate, which is Belfast City Council, and the regional rate, which is set by the department and is Northern Ireland-wide. So when it comes to rates relief, and particularly previous plans where we've kind of adapted to either events like this, or we've tried to stimulate particular sectors, that has been the Department of Finance, to my mind. I have gone and asked the officers in the council just what flexibilities we do have there, not just in rates as well, but in terms of employability, to try and help the staff who are working in Primark. Because, you know, there is going to be a number of people out of pocket here, unfortunately, and it is just about how the council can act to minimise that and minimise the damage that has happened.
Yeah, but people will be depending. They'll be depending, Donal. But Donal, they'll be depending on the council, because the Department of Finance isn't going to be able to make a decision.
Well, you know, that's what I've asked, whether we have the legal ability to do that. So, I mean, we do need to have a very close look at this, because I'm not sure we do, because previous schemes have come from the Department of Finance, and so there will have to be a meeting with the department officials there and just work out the exact technicalities of that. You know, the council can't act if we don't have the powers there. If it is a departmental thing, it has to be at a departmental level. But that's one of the questions we need to get an answer for the traders with quickly, because I appreciate a lot of traders in our city work on a monthly basis, just as a lot of staff in Primark and in retail in general work on a weekly basis when it comes to their paycheck. So we need to, you know, one of the things we need to do as well is to see if there are alternative sites within the city centre that we can get Primark back up and running to you know, to keep that retail offer. That we need to get those in the immediacy. We need to get that Crossroads open. We need to get Royal Avenue back to full flow. And we need to secure bank buildings themselves, the Primark building itself. We need to secure it and see how much we can salvage of it, because it's a unique building in our city.
And are you aware of Primark actively looking for another building? Have they liaised with you on where they might find a suitable site?
It's one of the topics that have that the council are kind of looking at, and people in the council are looking at. There's obviously commercial sensitivities there, so I'm not going to go too far on that. But it is something we don't want to see a business like Primark, which does, you know, Primark offers has a big footprint in our city and has done for a long time. We don't want to see it not being on the high streets, not being available to people. So if we could, if the council can play a role in facilitating or identifying or making it easier and somehow for Primark to find an alternative location, that would be something I'd be keen to see the council doing.
Okay, Donal Lyons, thank you very much, Chair of the Growth and Regeneration Committee at Belfast City Council. 90333105, this is, as we say, the Frank Mitchell phone-in. You're very welcome. Lots of you talking about a variety of different things. You're taking to the texts and the emails here. We'll have a look indeed at what you're saying. We'll be hearing from you as well as the morning goes by. Okay, you can pick up the phone. You can give us a ring right here, right now. 02890 333 105. Call me. So text me in the morning. 077-66-105-105. Whatever you want to say, we'll cover it for you here on U105.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Listening to you.
Good morning. Going to say hello to Anna Marie, who's going to have a conversation with us in a moment. If you're just joining us, you are very welcome indeed. Quite a few of you commenting on where indeed Primark could pop up with a new store. We had this conversation yesterday. You've come up with additional ideas today. Anna Marie, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, a lot of people have been suggesting the BHS store, which I know you're suggesting as well. And there's also, we were reminding people yesterday that a Dublin outfit, Guineas, I think is the name of it, are considering coming into the BHS store. But as we heard yesterday, would there be room for both Guineas and Primark in the same building? That's how big is that BHS store?
There wouldn't be, it wouldn't be enough room to have both in the one building. You'd either have to have one or the other in it. Do you know what I mean? It's like a two bit. It's a big building, but it's long rather than wide. If you know what I mean, it's high, but it's not big enough for the two of them. You know, you'd only have one or the other in it. So you would, because of the range of stuff Primark had, you wouldn't even got all Primark stuff into it as it is. But you would got some of all the ranges in. You wouldn't have got an awful lot of everything in. Like, you wouldn't have got, we'd say, like 10 sizes of each thing, but you would get the popular sizes. Do you know what I mean? You get most of the stuff in, but you wouldn't have got all the stuff in.
Is it vital that it goes into the city centre? The number of people who mentioned yesterday the B&Q location at Boucher Road, that would be, like, I suppose, a fabulous place to have a massive Primark, but that doesn't help the city centre.
No, but in saying that, I don't think it'll get to be the B&Q because... T13D have their dues their weeks every other month in there, and they also have push bike trial tracks in there as well, and they have like skating rinks and like not ice rinks but like rollerblades and that kids messing about. They let that out for different things, and I do because I am I'm a taxi driver, so I pick people up from it all the time.
It's incredible, isn't it, with all the shop frontage that has gone vacant in Belfast city centre, that we can't instantly suggest somewhere that Primark could go to because it is so popular.
I know, and you don't want to see it going completely off the high street, you know what I mean? It'd be ideal if it wasn't be, if the other place, Guineas, wasn't coming down for a year or two, like, it'd be grand because it would do be Primark grand because, they would have got some of their own building back up again. And then they could start off. I know that probably if they were doing a quick job, it would take them like 2 or 3 years to build up what they would have wanted. But, you know, from small apples, big trees grow. You know, we just have to, you know, hopefully that will get somewhere in town. Because at the end of the day, although like in saying that, Frank, there's nowhere to park in town. So if they could get the B&Q store, that would be ideal because you've got parking and everything there. So that might be a better thing. But then it's not going to do all the people that would go into town on buses and that and not get taxis. You know, that's where people are going to lose out there as well, you know?
Absolutely. And it's more and more we are reminded that iconic store like that, a store that's on the tip of your tongue, an instantly recognisable attraction like Primark, is important to Belfast city centre. If they move that away to suburbia, some people are saying the Crumlin Road, there's lots of space up on the Crumlin Road. Yeah, you can still go and shop. You know, it's not like as if it's the only Primark. There are other Primarks. You can go and buy Primark product. But Primark is vital to Belfast city centre because it brings in people who work to that budget and it gives them a shopping experience that they thoroughly enjoy. If you remove that from the city centre, that's to the disadvantage of all the other shopkeepers around where Primark would have been located. So, you know, you take these things for granted and then when you lose it in the blink of an eye, you realise how important it is. 90 333 105, 077 66 105 105. How is the form with you this morning? 028 90 333 105. Just looking at some of the texts and the emails, Guineas are only taking a small part of the BHS store, says Kate. Primark could jump in there and indeed could put up their Christmas stock. You see, they will be keen to sell their Christmas goods, but you know, they don't have to do it in Belfast city centre. I think Belfast city centre needs Primark more than Primark needs the centre of Belfast, and that is a worry. That is a worry because, you know, there are so many shops that have disappeared, and that disaster in terms of commerce the other day is so bad for the beating heart of Belfast commerce, Belfast City Centre. 90 333 105, 077 66 105 105. Another person saying a large empty unit on the Crumlin Road that used to belong to Dunn's. This would be excellent for Primark. Quite a few people are actually remarking on that. And of course, the old gag from yesterday as well, that there's a vacant building up at Stormont. Right, 90 333 105, 077 66 105 105. William has a point that he wants to make in relation to the best place for Primark to relocate. Go ahead, William.
Frank, I was just thinking about the Park Centre. Since Dunn's moved out of it, there's two big shops now vacant for a long time there. That would fairly rejuvenate the place and plenty of parking.
Yeah, put a good bounce into the west of the city, but wouldn't help Belfast City Centre. William, thank you. Never ending are the suggestions, but where's the most appropriate place when we consider that it probably needs to be in Belfast City Centre?